Good morning.
I've had a couple of cards given to me that have been sent to the church as a whole, so I'll read them out and I'll put them at the back somewhere after the service. Oh, we've got a table. How blind am I this morning? Wishing everyone a peaceful time this Christmas. May God bless you all. Love from Jackie. Wishing everyone a very happy, peaceful New Year from June Guest. It's like being at a wedding, isn't it? Right, the notice for the coming... Oh, we've got some... I'm going to read... It is like being at a wedding, isn't it? Yeah, no speech. To the friends of Alderman's Green, may the Christmas season bring to you, among its gifts so bright, God's gift of peace and the joy and love to fill your heart with light. And that's from Sue Over, if you remember who Sue Over is. To Helen and Dave, I think I've got the wrong one.
Read on.
Oh, no, I'm going to read on, it's all right. Plus friends and members of Alderman's Green Methodist Church. May God's blessing be with you all Christmas through and fill you with happiness as he watches over you. And that's from Eileen. We don't see Eileen very often. It's nice that she's still thinking of us and we ought to hold her in her prayers. Oh. I'm going to have to put my reading skills on now. Happy Christmas to all at Alderman's Green. Love from... Going to shout?
Ingrid.
Yeah, Ingrid. She shouted. It's supposed to be nice for Ingrid to say that. They're definitely all the cards, but you're welcome to bring some more next week. Tuesday this week, coming, 16th, 7 p.m. at the Bird in Hand, carol singing. Please turn up, because they're really expecting us. They're all excited over there that the church choir's coming. I have explained we're not the church choir, we're the congregation, but they don't seem to understand. Oh, the choir's coming, so 7 o'clock on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom, and on Friday, the church cafe will be held at 10 a.m. in the church hall. And the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service, there will be no Sunday morning service, but there will be a carol service in Christingle at 6 p.m. led by myself and the worship warriors, followed by tea, coffee, mince pies, and if you don't like mince pies, probably some cake. Because of this, the Christingle preparation is at 5 p.m. on that evening, so come at 5 p.m. if you can help do the Christingles. Sunday the 28th of December, there will be the usual 11 a.m. morning service, but with a difference. Due to it being a holiday time, we've not asked any visiting preacher to lead our service. God's word tells us to encourage one another daily, so this is an opportunity to do this, either by a short word of testimony, a Bible reading, a prayer, or even a solo. Please see Helen Lee by next Sunday if you'd like to take part. And the church cafe in the new year, we need additional help in the kitchen for the Friday morning cafe. If you can help and are willing to be included on the rota to prepare tea, coffee and toast, please see Helen Lee for further details. And with regard to the service next week, I'm looking for 7 people to do a Bible reading. I've got one, so I need another 6. I don't want to do 6 Bible readings as well as lead the service. So if you could see me afterwards if you'd like to, and I'll give you the Bible reading. There are all the notices for this morning, and it's my pleasure to welcome Steve Macbeth to us. It's lovely to have you with us, Steve, and I'll hand over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. How are you all today? You're all fired up and ready for church? Brilliant, that's 3 of you. So, I'd just like to encourage you as well. Carol's in the pub. We do it at our pub as well. So we're going up the sunny side in Nuneaton, and the pub is loving it. They have produced their own flyers. So we sent them ours. They've produced their own already. And they have got people coming far and wide to join us. And actually, it's really good to get as many of you out there as you can, because so many people are craving to join in. And so it's one of those things you don't realise the desperation of people that want to come and join in with Christmas festivities. So do, if you can, turn up and bolster Stuart in his singing voice as well, so he's not on his own. But actually, they are really amazing. And the other thing that I'd just like to share with the Christingle Making Group, we bought on Amazon this week a Christingle Cora, and it has revolutionised our Christingle making. You're going to stick it in, twist it, pull it out, and the candle slots in. There's no juice in your eye. So if you Google Christingle Cora, you can buy one, and they're really nice. And they're very practical and wonderful. So we've tried it out with our oranges at home. And trying to stop my daughter coring all the oranges now is a trouble. But Christingle corers, revolutionise your Christingles. So let us come to worship. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be comforted. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Let us pray. Father God, we come before you this morning and we seek that one thing, that we may dwell in your house all the days of our lives, that we may see your face here in this temple. Father, would you come and inhabit our praises this morning? Would we tangibly meet you as we worship? Amen. 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 We're now going to stand, if we're able, and sing, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." We're now going to enter a time of prayer. I will leave some space if you would like to pray out loud for anything that you feel God's put on your heart, then feel free. If not, then pray in the silence. Father God, we raise your world to you. Lord, at this Christmas time, as we come to celebrate you, the light of the world. Father, it seems like our world is plummeting into darkness. Lord, would you shed your light on those dark places? Father, we think especially of the shootings that have happened on Bondi Beach and the one that happened in America. Father, would you comfort those who mourn? Would you help people rebuild and restore their lives? Father, would you help those that are dealing with the trauma of what they've witnessed? Father, would you help them make sense in the senselessness? Would you draw near to them? And Father, show them that you walk with us through the pain. Amen. And Father, we think of the political turmoil that we seem to be in. Lord, with the rise of the far right, with people seeking to divide rather than to build. Lord, would you help churches to step up and into that gap? Especially at Christmas time, where we look at you, the King of all nations. Father, would you let your message of peace echo through our lands? Father, we look at the political turmoil in America and we ask you to bring your people back to you. Those that profess your name to do good in your name. Father, would you bring peace to those who are fearful at this time? And Lord, would you increase the love we have for one another? Amen.
Amen.
And Father, we pray for our NHS at this time, as seasonally they just come under the cosh over winter. Lord, would you inspire the doctors and nurses? Father, would you protect our NHS? Father, would you hold back the flu virus and the winter bugs? Lord, would you strengthen all our NHS workers? Lord, would they have the quietest Christmas they've had for a long time? And Lord, as we approach Christmas, we pray for peace on households. For those suffering from anxiety at Christmas, whether it's being anxiety of being on their own or the anxiety of families descending on each other. Father, would you bring peace and harmony to those relationships? Lord, would you speak your life into those situations? And Father, would people meet you this Christmas? That life-changing encounter with the living God. We ask this in your name. Amen. And Father, while thinking of you that came as a baby, we think of James and Susie. Lord, would you bless them tomorrow? As they go into hospital, Lord, would you put angels around them? Would you give them peace? And Father, would they just have the best birth possible? Father, as we rejoice with them, Lord, would you bring just that sense of safety and security around them? Father, would everything go smoothly, Lord, and would we be coming back on Sunday rejoicing at the newborn baby? Father, would you help them get the best night's sleep they can tonight, because they're not going to get many in the next few weeks. Amen. And Father, we think of those that are sick at this moment. Lord, those in our congregation, those that we know, we raise them to you. We ask you to put your healing arms around them. Father, would you heal them physically, emotionally, and mentally? Would you restore what has been lost? And would you rebuild their health and strength? And Father, for those that are mourning at this time, we know you mourn with those who mourn. So Lord, would you draw near to those in their mourning? Father, would you give them that joy and peace that just makes no sense? But it makes sense because you are there. Would you draw near to those who mourn? We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're now going to stand and sing again. It's one of my favourite Advent hymns, O Come Emmanuel.
Thank you.
And now our reading today comes from Isaiah 9. It's verses 1 to 7, and will be read by Denai.
Good morning, all. Right then, Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in the battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Lord has sent a message against Jacob. It will fall on Israel. All the people will know it. Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria will say with pride and arrogance of heart.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are going to stand one more time. Oh, no, we're going to take the collection first. Sorry. We're going to take the collection and then we will stand and sing In Christ Alone. Father God, we receive these gifts. Lord, would you receive the fruits of our work? Would you receive the gifts of our sacrifice and praise? And Lord, would you bless them and honour them? Would you multiply them and use them for your kingdom's sake, here in Alderman's Green and wider afield? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And now we will stand and sing In Christ Alone.
Thank you.
Amazing. Now, before I start my sermon, I'll just explain, I love Christmas. I thought I'd get this out of the way because the sermon seems to be a little bit different. It's about Advent. But I love Christmas. I love the lights. I love the presents. I love all things about it. I worked for a few years as a Father Christmas impersonator and occasionally still don the suit. I need less padding as I get older, it seems like. But I love it. One of the things our family does is we play the Christmas light game. Now, I don't know if you do this. You're driving around in the car and you see Christmas lights and you call out and point out all the Christmas lights. I love it. Apparently, though, I take it a little bit too competitive because I start keeping score. So I'm like, Christmas lights, 1-0. And apparently that's not the done thing. And then I cheat as well. I'm like, oh, look, Christmas lights. And Lisa's like, it's an ambulance coming out of the George Eliot. That doesn't count. Traffic lights don't count either. You know, so apparently there's so many ways that I cheat. Apparently. But I'm not allowed to play the Christmas night game in the car with the rest of the family now. But I love Christmas. I love presents. Now, we all have traditions in our house. Now, I don't know about you, my tradition growing up when I was a young boy, Christmas Day, you'd be in your pyjamas, you'd come downstairs, there's presents under the tree, and as soon as all four of us were assembled, my mum, my dad, and me and my brother, we could start opening the presents. And you'd rip open the presents, you'd make your pile of loot, and then you'd roll all the wrapping paper up, and it'd be like a snowball fight across the house. My mother-in-law does not do that. My mother-in-law's house, and we spent many years doing Christmas at the mother-in-law's while we lived in Reading. And she has a tradition, she calls it. And literally the tradition is you don't get your presents till after Christmas dinner. I know. I keep telling my wife the noises people make when I tell them that. It's like a hostage situation. It's like she has a fear that if you open your presents early, you're going to go. And that's it, Grandma, see you later. But apparently she still does this, holding your presents to ransom, and then they do that, opening them individually, so you've got to see you opening your present. Which is great if it's something you like, but sometimes you get that present that just doesn't quite hit the mark, and you're like, oh, that's really lovely. I'll just share my favourite one of these was my niece had just been born. So James, just be aware with Christmas gifts. My niece had just been born. And she was about 6 months old, so she didn't choose the presents. And my wife opened up this lovely coaster. And it said, World's Greatest Auntie. And I thought, that's brilliant, because she's got two aunties. There's Marianne, she's in Italy, so she sees you more often. You're the greatest auntie, you're her favourite auntie. That worked well. Well done, you. 1-0. So, and then my father-in-law opens up this thing, and it was a beer mug that said, World's Best Granddad. And I'm like, oh, that's great, because she's got two of those as well. And so he's got one as well, the Jacobs family, that's my wife's side of family. They're doing really well. The mother-in-law, World's Greatest Grandma, and it's come to me. And I'm like, I'm her only uncle. So I know what I'm getting. I've won the prize, competition of one, very hard to lose. I've opened up this present, and inside was a bag of chocolate reindeer poo. It wasn't. It was raisins covered in chocolate, but that's what the bag said. Not a world's greatest uncle, and not a, I'm really sorry, we couldn't find anything in the shop saying world's greatest uncle. They didn't mention it. So there's me thinking all of Christmas, like, oh, that's really great, thank you. And then going, do they not like me? Was there not one in the shop? And I was left with all this worrying. And apparently, 15 years ago, I should really let this go and stop telling people it. But it's one of those things, we build these traditions. And the tradition is, every Christmas, before I open my presents, I ask my niece, is it a world's greatest uncle yet? Have I done enough to win one? And apparently not, still 15 years on. But this is how traditions, thank you, this is how traditions form. And one of the great traditions of the church that's not found in the Bible, but it's been going on for nearly 2,000 years, about 1,800 years, is Advent. This period of waiting before Christmas. It's a season that begins where we least expect it. Not with the lights and the glittery bits and the tree and the presents, but it begins in darkness. Before the angels sing, before the shepherds turn up, before the star appears, Scripture invites us into the night. In our world today, we rush towards the lights. We love all things twinkly. Along our road by the hospital, there is loads and loads of Halloween decorations. Someone's got like a 30-foot skeleton they put out in front of their driveway. And then on the day after Halloween, the 1st of November, it is gone and Christmas appears outside their house. From November. Because we rush towards the twinkly lights. We rush towards the celebration. But we don't dwell in the darkness that Scripture invites us into. If you listen to lots of the radio, you will notice, and my wife noticed very early on in October, that the Christmas radio channel has started already playing Christmas songs. And so she started listening in mid-October to Christmas tunes as well. And the Christmas TV channel was out in mid-October as well. But actually, there's this waiting for the Messiah. We notice that throughout the Bible there's always these periods of darkness and silence before God moves. I will take you back to the first 400 years of silence. When Joseph was taken as a slave to Israel, or to Egypt. And the family came down, if you remember the story. You might remember it because Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote a great musical about it. But they ended up in Egypt, where they were then enslaved for 400 years, waiting for their deliverer, Moses. And then from Joseph to Moses, we move from Malachi to Matthew, the last prophet of the Old Testament. There was 400 years of silence before John the Baptist. This great period of darkness and silence where God seemed distant from them. Advent invites us into those times. There's this great call that churches since the Council of Nicaea in 320 have said together. You might know it. Liturgical churches up and down the country say it every Sunday. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This great longing and waiting. Advent invites us into that, to remember the past. To remember those centuries-long silence where the people were waiting for Messiah. That we reflect on the present, that actually Messiah has come. But we anticipate the future, we look forwards to when he comes again and makes all things right. This period of Advent isn't just waiting for Christmas. It's waiting, as a hobbit would say, for second Christmas. We're waiting for the return of Christ. So we wait for the light to come. We don't try and manufacture the light. We wait and yearn for God. It's one of those things that's really interesting. When you read through the story of Elijah. Elijah was an amazing prophet of the Old Testament. He did some great things. He went to battle with the prophets of Baal. And I don't know if you remember this, where Baal and all the people were cutting themselves and trying to get fire to fall on their altar. And Elijah was like, tell you what, pour water on ours. My God's big enough. Yours not. Where's your God? If you remember that story, where's your God? And he even goes, he disappeared to the loo. He's not here, is he? Where is he? And then God turns up. But then Elijah got scared because Jezebel had put a death sentence on him. He ran, he hid under a tree, and like all good people, he went, woe is me, it's all going wrong. And he sat there and he wanted to die. He sat there having a mental health crisis under a tree, and God fed him with ravens. And then he took him into the night. And in the darkness of night, there was an earthquake, there was wind, there was fire. Not the band, but there was all these things that went on. And then how did God speak? Well, our translation says in a still, small voice. If you go to the original Hebrew translation, God spoke in the sound of sheer silence. That's how God speaks. So Advent invites us to wait in the silence. And listen for the voice. The church doesn't begin with triumph. The church begins with that whisper of hope in that still, small voice. Isaiah declared, and then I read beautifully, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has shined. And John writes in the beginning of John, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Bible doesn't deny darkness. As Christians, sometimes we go, we need to walk in the light. But actually, sometimes we will find we are in darkness. The darkness of grief after losing someone. The darkness of depression and anxiety that you just can't snap out of. The darkness of medical uncertainty, financial strains, of loneliness during a season when families are gathering. The darkness of unanswered prayer, unfulfilled hope, unspoken fears. The darkness of looking at our world filled with hatred and violence and conflict. A darkness where it says things can't get better. And Advent doesn't ask us to pretend it's all right and look at the sparkly lights and play the Christmas light game. Advent invites us to come as we are in the darkness because God will meet you there. Darkness is not a failure. It's a place where God begins. When Isaiah wrote this prophecy that we read today, Israel wasn't celebrating. They were in captivity, conquered, humiliated, exhausted. They were crying out for help in the darkness. They were clinging to the promise that Messiah would come, even though it felt impossible. When John begins his gospel, John chooses that language of creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He takes us back to Genesis. He puts Jesus at the very foundation of the world, where in the darkness, everything was created. If you notice, if you know the Genesis account, God said, "Let there be light," and there was on day three. After he has created the world, he's made the waters all in the dark, he then speaks light into being. Light is not anything to do with our achievement, it's God's divine intervention in our lives. The places we fear may be the very places God plans to move next, to bring that creation light back in. Darkness is not the end. It's a stage for God to do some of his best miracles. When we look at Abraham and Sarah, they were in the darkness of childlessness. And God leads Abraham into the night. Come with me into the darkness. Look at the stars. Your family will be more numerous than that. Joseph was thrown into a pit in prison, in Egypt, far from home, far from hope. And God made him Pharaoh's right-hand man. Moses was standing before the Red Sea, the Egyptians behind them, the pillar of fire behind them, and nothing but sea in front of them. Death by drowning if we go forwards, death by Egyptians if we go backwards. And God says, stretch out your hand into the night. And in the night, the waters were parted. We heard about Elijah hiding in despair, and he took him into the night to speak to him. David was hiding in a cave from Saul in the darkness, and God made him king. Israel were waiting for 400 years without a prophet, and Jesus, the light of the world, was given to them. And then we get to the early church. They were hiding in an upper room on that first Easter Sunday. Scared, lonely, grieving, probably with the lights off because they were terrified that they would be next. And God shows up. Over and over again, God works in darkness. So if you today are feeling like you're in a place where there is darkness, you're not disqualified from God moving. You don't have to move into the light before he will work. You are not forgotten. You might be exactly where God wants you to be so he can bring his light to that situation. Because God doesn't wait for the darkness to disappear. He enters it and dispels the darkness. John tells us the light shines in the darkness, not after the darkness, not around the darkness, but into the darkness. The story of the incarnation, which is another old Latin word which basically means when God made man. If you notice, we've sang a few songs where it says he put on flesh and came to be, so the very nature of God became a human to live with us. The Message translation puts it really beautifully. God put on flesh and moved into our neighbourhoods. That's the message of the incarnation. God came down to us because he knows we can't reach him. So he came to meet us. The Creator entered creation. The infinite became an infant. God became fragile, vulnerable, and dependent. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a stable. He wasn't born in comfort. He was born in poverty. He wasn't welcomed by kings, but was laid in a feeding trough. He was born not in a time of Israel's peace, but under brutal Roman occupation. He wasn't surrounded by applause and midwives and all the doctors of the NHS. He wasn't born in the George Eliot, but in a place of fear. If we'd written the script, if I had got to choose this story, this is not the story I would have written. Jesus would have turned up, angels would have told everyone, not just the shepherds, the smelly shepherds in the fields. They would have gone to everyone. Everyone, gather round. We'll televise this. This is Mary. She is going to give birth to Jesus. There would have been a procession. There would have been music and lights and celebrities and all sorts. But Jesus chose not to be born like that. Because God wants to shine light where it's least expected. Because one of the things is, and one of the things we forget, light is most visible in darkness. If I was to go up to Mount Judd, if you know it in Nuneaton, there's this slag heap that's called Mount Judd. If I was to go to the top of that and put a candle, you wouldn't see it in the day. But at night time, you would see it from most parts of the town. Because light can travel, I think it's up to 2.4 miles in the darkness. More if it's on a hill. It's one of those things that God shows up where darkness seems most present. I have seen God showing up in hospital rooms late nights. Those late night phone calls where God starts moving. God reaching into tears and uncertainty. Most present in the places where we feel most abandoned. His nearness is most clearest when we are most fragile. When me and my wife had a miscarriage and lost our baby, we felt the closest we had to God for a long time. We were grieving, but God was there. It was that peace that passes all understanding, peace within the sorrow. We knew that God was with us. And the manger is proof that God does his best work in the dark. The darkness will not win. John continues, the darkness has not overcome it. And those words for us as Christians should make our hearts steady. It should give us confidence. Because they're not sentimental. We hear these stories all the time when you come to read your seven readings. They're readings we know really well. But sometimes we need to let them sink in. The darkness will not overcome it is revolutionary. Darkness tries its best to extinguish light. Herod tried to kill Jesus in infancy. He slaughtered all the children under 2 years old. Satan tried in tempting Jesus to throw himself off the Temple Mount. Religious leaders tried to silence Jesus everywhere he went. Rome tried to crucify him once and for all to kill him. And then the grave was sealed to try and contain him. But the light kept breaking through. The resurrection of Easter is the ultimate declaration that darkness will not win. Not then, not now, not ever. Darkness is loud, but it's limited. It is powerful, but it's temporary. It is real, but it is not final, because light wins always. Which means whatever darkness you are in, whatever darkness you are carrying, there is more to your story. Maybe you're waiting for clarity, for healing, for peace. Advent says, hold on, the dawn is coming. The night cannot stop it. I have the privilege or misfortune of waking up with my children at 6 a.m. to get them on the school bus by 7. I'm not a morning person. But as I take the dog out for a wee, one of the first things I do, we go outside and I can see the morning star. And it says that Jesus is that morning star that rises in our heart. And when it does, you know the day is coming. The morning star appears just before the dawn. And so I can see that morning star. I know that light is coming. By the time I've got back home and I'm drinking my coffee, the sun has come up. My kids have gone to school and I sometimes go back to bed for an hour. But, but that morning star that rises, and Advent calls us to look for the star. To hold on in the night. To live as those people of light. It's not just about waiting for Christmas and getting to the party. It's about becoming people who allow his light to shine through us. Paul writes, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Jesus says that you are the light of the world. Not that you might be the light of the world. If you try really hard, you can shine. If you know that song, which I love, but it's theologically inaccurate, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's not my light. It's his light shining through me. You are the light because just as the moon reflects the sun, we reflect God's glory. When God shines on us, we can't help but reflect that light of the Lord to other people. If you find yourself not shining that light, perhaps you need to turn yourself towards the sun and let him shine on you more. Because our job isn't to generate that light within ourselves, to put on that smiley face and try to shine the light. Our job is to stay focused on the light bringer. And how do we do that? Well, I've got some top tips for you. Number one, we live in hope. Hope is not that naive positivity. It's not the hope like my daughter keeps going, oh, I hope I get an egg chair for Christmas. That's a naive wish. She is getting an egg chair for Christmas, don't tell her. But actually, it's not that wishful thinking. That's not hope. It says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hope, according to the Bible, is this confidence that we know what is coming. We don't know when it gets here, but we know what is coming. Hope refuses to let darkness write that final chapter in our lives. Hope continues. We practice love. Every act of love pushes back the darkness. We find when we do things, that small act of kindness, it brings light into situations. We find that in Matthew, and I think it's in Luke as well, when we look at the parable of Jesus telling the story of the sheep and the goats, he talks about bringing that light to people. In as much as you do it to the least of my brethren, you do it to me. That brings light. That brings hope to other people. We tell the truth. Light exposes lies. Currently, there's a lot of lies going around and misinformation. We don't join in with that. We stay truthful. We speak out against injustice because silence is darkness. And we worship because worship is turning ourselves towards the sun, and worship is allowing that light in. It declares that God reigns even when circumstances feel chaotic, that God is good all the time, even though life is not good all the time. In a world of despair and hatred and fear and cynicism, we as Christians should be glowing. We should be walking reminders that God is not finished. One of the testimonies in our life when we were going through the miscarriage were people were wondering, how are you coping with this so well? And our answer was, because God is close to us. It hurts, we're grieving, but God is with us. And people could see the difference in us. They didn't know what the difference was, but they could see that something was different. We are called to be people of light, even in our own dark places. And Advent should teach us to wait well. That waiting is hard because we live in an instant society. If you want your Christingle maker, you could probably have it by tomorrow if you order it before six. So we live in that kind of world. That it's not a 28-day wait for delivery, put the little blue arrow in your window and hope the Little Woods van comes. It's none of that anymore. It's here next day. If you want to watch a film, you don't have to wait for it to be on video. Netflix will get it to you within a day or two. Everything, we don't want to wait. We've got this culture and society where waiting is hard, but biblical waiting is different. Biblical waiting is like the soldiers at Bramcote Barracks are waiting for deployment. They're not sitting around twiddling their thumbs, but they're actively ready to go at a moment's notice. They're on a 12-hour call. The old-fashioned phrase used to be, they sleep with their boots on, because they can go at any time. As Christians, we are called to sleep with our boots on. Those shoes that are fitted for the readiness of the gospel, we have them on, ready and waiting. Like the story of the virgins and the lamps, we keep oil in our lamps and we keep them lit. Because we don't know when we will have that call to move. We don't know when God will turn up, but we want to be ready when he is. Waiting is where God forms trust. Mary waited 9 months from angel Gabriel coming to say, you will have a child, to her getting to see the Son of God face to face. Israel waited centuries for their Messiah. We are now waiting for the second coming. When God returns and the world is renewed and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth and no more sickness and pain and dying. But we live in that tension of the now and the not yet. God is on the move, but we haven't seen him fully yet. So we wait with lanterns lit, confident that he who came once will come again. And every tear will be wiped away, every injustice overturned, every wound will be healed, every grave will lose its power, and night will disappear forever. Revelation tells us, if you want to cheat and read the back of the book and see how it ends, it's always good. Revelation says there'll be no more night, for the Lord their God will be their light. The darkness is long, but it's not endless. Morning is on horizon. So today, if you feel that you have darkness around, Advent is for you. It's for the grieving, it's for the weary, it's for the anxious, it's for the lonely, it's for the disappointed, it's for those whose faith feel fragile. Advent doesn't just say, cheer up, it's not that bad, Christmas is coming. Advent says, even though it's bad, the light is coming, the day will rise. Jesus is the light that the darkness cannot overcome. Jesus is the dawn that will break every night. He is the hope that refuses to die. He is the love that is stronger than death. He's the presence that sits with us until that morning comes. So hold on. Keep watch. Wait with expectation. Lift your head to the stars and sing into the darkness. Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, will not, cannot overcome it. Let us pray. Jesus, you are the light of the world. And when we look at Christmas with all the lights hung on the tree, Lord, we remember that you are the light of the world. And because you hung on a tree, we have freedom. Father, would you shine your light into those dark places of our lives? Those places where we struggle, where our fears, our anxieties are. Would you shine your light onto every shadow? heal our wounds, strengthen our hope. Father, would you teach us to wait with faith and live as people of light. Come, Lord Jesus, shine in us, shine through us, and shine upon the world. Amen. We are going to stand and sing an old classic now, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Before I bless you and we sing our final song, if any of that has made you think that you need to know Jesus more, then if you want to pray through that, I am here at the end, or there are other people around to chat to someone. If you want to pray through any of the issues, if there's something that God has put his finger on your heart, then do come and see me. We can pray through it. But may the light of Christ guide your steps. May the warmth of his presence sustain you. And may this hope carry you until your day breaks and darkness is no more. So go in peace in the light of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We will now sing our closing song, It Is Well With My Soul.